Hello, and welcome to the NB Update. I'm David Gordon-Koch, reporting from Moncton. This program is brought to you by the NB Media Co-op in partnership with CHCO Television. At the NB Media Co-op, our stories take a social justice lens. If you like what we do, please support us by donating and becoming a member by going to our online publication at mbmediacoop.org and clicking on Join the Co-op /donate. Today on the show, researchers from New Brunswick Community College have just completed a three-year study called Go Barrier Free. NB Media Co-op contributor and disability rights advocate Caitlin Massey was one of the principal researchers for the project, which examined gaps in federal accessibility standards. NB Media Co-op volunteer Matthew Wright, who was a research participant, spoke to Caitlin along with research assistant Andrew Urquhart to learn more. That's coming up, but first, New Brunswickers are experiencing price shock from electricity rate hikes. The increases are especially hard to manage for low-income people with disabilities, like Maddie Mitten. She's no longer able to afford her one-bedroom apartment in Moncton because of the surging prices. Now she's getting ready to move. That story represents larger systemic problems, says Shelley Petit of the NB Coalition of Persons with Disabilities. Stay tuned for that story. And remember, you can find more news and commentary on our flagship online publication at nbmediacoop.org. Check it out for stories on topics like the controversial proposal to build a fossil fuel burning power plant in southeast New Brunswick. The company behind that project recently faced scrutiny at a public meeting in Elsabooktook First Nation. You'll also find coverage of a Green Party environmental rights bill defeated in March, with the Liberals and Conservatives joining to vote against the legislation. Go to nbmediacoop.org for all that and much more.
Thursday of last week, I went to the food bank, and this is what I got. I got like three of these, and I got some frozen meat and a dozen eggs, and it's pretty much what I got.
Maddie Mitten has lived in this building in Moncton for more than 18 years. She used to have a second floor unit, but the elevator service wasn't reliable, a major problem due to her mobility issues. About 2 years ago, she managed to secure an apartment on the ground floor, but she soon found that electricity costs in the new unit were unaffordable.
It costs more down here in a one-bedroom apartment, which is smaller. I had a two-bedroom apartment on the second floor, and it averaged, in the winter, at most, maybe $90 to $100 in the middle of the winter. And now down here, $350 a month.
NB Power rates have skyrocketed in recent years after a period when rates were effectively frozen. There was a 5.7% rate increase in 2023. In 2024, it was more than 9%. In 2025, another 9%. It came amid the ongoing cost of living crisis. After Liberal Premier Susan Holt came to power in 2024, she followed through on an election promise by eliminating the 10% provincial sales tax on electricity bills. But that wasn't enough to keep Maddie in her apartment building, which is home to many low-income renters like her. Even though her ground floor apartment is smaller, it's harder to heat.
There's no carpets. When the wind blows, it comes right through around the door, around the window, and in my bedroom, the window is new, and the door here is new, like within the last few years, since before I moved down here, and I've been down here for 2 years. So they're brand new, and there's still wind coming through. So I've got the heat up to 20, 22 degrees. To keep warm.
Now she's packing up her belongings and getting ready to move. The good news is that she's been accepted into a housing complex for people with disabilities who want to keep living independently. With heat and electricity included with rent, it fits her limited budget. She's been on the waiting list for close to 20 years. She says they're only accepting her now because of her dire financial situation and multiple health problems. But many other people in New Brunswick are facing an energy affordability crisis, says Shelley Petit, chair of the NB Coalition of Persons with Disabilities.
And we're seeing this come in from everywhere, so whether it's seniors, persons with disabilities, people who are working two and three jobs at minimum wage, and they just simply cannot afford it, and they have to make some really serious choices. Canada is too wealthy of a country. People should not have to choose between medications and heat or food and heat. We just should not have to make that choice.
On April 1st, the Energy and Utilities Board approved yet another rate increase for NB Power. By the time we recorded this episode, there was still no word on the exact rate hike, but it's expected to be upwards of 4%. The utility also plans to follow up with a 6.5% increase next year and another one in 2028. The power utility says it needs the money to deal with aging infrastructure, increased demand for electricity, and stronger weather systems linked to the climate crisis. NB Power is also heavily indebted, but everyday people are also struggling.
You know, it's just killing people, and people want to pay their bills, especially people with disabilities, and it's heartbreaking to them that they can't and when they can't. You know, you might have the odd person that's like, whatever, I'm not paying it, but most people want to pay their bills and they're willing to go without their meds for that. But eventually going without your meds gets you put in the hospital. That's a crisis point too, because our hospitals are at crisis.
Recently, a three-person panel concluded a year-long review of NB Power and the future of the utility. The review blamed NB Power's financial issues in part on what it called government interference, resulting in low increases between 2011 and 2022. During that time, the average increase was just 1.35% annually, and some years it was frozen at 0%. The review issued dozens of recommendations. For example, it said the province should consider building another large-scale nuclear plant at Point Lepreau. But even if the province follows through on the recommendations, rates will inevitably keep rising, according to the review.
The vacation that New Brunswickers had on rates in the past is over. Rates are going to go up. Now, unfortunately, there's some in our society, our communities, who will find that extremely difficult.
That might be an understatement. By late March, NB Power had reportedly seen the highest number of client disconnections for non-payment since at least 2017. That's despite the fact that last year, NB Power introduced a temporary moratorium on winter disconnections for certain vulnerable populations.
Although they like to say they don't, there were several people that have been disconnected this winter that have done everything right, but the person just I don't know. We got them reconnected right away, but they may have gone 4-6 hours without power, and that hurts their disability equipment. The province has to start looking at this and say, you know, do we want to keep giving millions of dollars to the food bank, or do we want people to actually be able to have the dignity and the voice and choice to go into a grocery store themselves and get something?
The NB Coalition of Persons with Disabilities is calling for changes, including an end to winter disconnections province-wide. They're also calling for New Brunswick to implement a program like one in Ontario called the Low Income Energy Assistance Program, or LEAP. It provides up to $780 in emergency assistance to people who are behind on their bills. Meanwhile, back in the Maritimes, Opportunities New Brunswick recently awarded a large subsidy, up to $45 million over 3 years, to Irving Paper, part of the billionaire-owned J.D. Irving Company. It's meant to cover the company when electricity costs become uncompetitive. That happens when NB Power's generating stations go offline and the utility is forced to buy electricity on the open market, according to the company. Back here in Moncton, Maddie Mitten, who is on social assistance and struggles with multiple disabilities, has this message for Premier Susan Holt.
You said you were going to help those of us that were the little guys, and that's what you were here for. Doesn't sound like you're here for us right now.
As for NB Power, the Department of Energy has stated that it plans to announce its next steps for the utility by the end of May. The president of NB Power, Lori Clark, said in a statement that the utility is committed to keeping rates as low as possible. Next on the show, gaps in federal accessibility standards were the focus of a research project called Go Barrier Free. Researchers from the New Brunswick Community College have just wrapped up that study. It involved interviews and questionnaires, along with site visits in St. John. Caitlin Massey, a disability rights advocate who writes for the NB Media Co-op, led the investigation alongside Bill McIver, who recently retired from the college. NB Media Co-op volunteer Matthew Wright was one of the research participants. He recently joined Caitlin Massey along with research assistant Andrew Urquhart for a conversation about accessibility and the obstacles to accessibility in New Brunswick.
What were exactly the goals of this research?
So the Go Barrier Free project was funded by Accessibility Standards Canada, and the primary focuses were the built environment, transportation, and ICT, and we analyzed the provincial and federal standards to help improve accessibility for the Canadian Accessibility Act, with the goal of the act coming to fruition for a barrier-free Canada in 2040.
Collecting information, we interviewed and surveyed about 170 people total. We divided them into four groups. Our main amount of participants were individuals with disabilities, with 103, caretakers of individuals with disabilities, 53, and accessibility experts, like researchers, advocates, with 22. We asked a number of questions, mainly about living daily life, navigating the built environment, or public transportation, or information and communication technologies. And after a lengthy period of collecting that data, we analyzed it using a qualitative data analysis application and compared our collected data with the federal accessibility standards.
Okay, how did the participants find the accessibility accommodations with the study? I can speak for myself. I found it very, very good.
So we interviewed people on Teams and Zoom, also in person upon request. It was hard during COVID times, but we did manage that. We did phone calls as well. And Andrew and I conducted the interviews together. And I would ask the questions some of the time. And he would also write participants' answers in the form itself. So we really tried to remove the barrier in case people had typing issues as well.
Yes. Let's go to St. John itself. What kind of places in St. John did you visit as part of your research?
Yeah, so over the course of our several site visits, specifically in St. John, we went to multiple shopping centers, uptown St. John, sidewalks, crosswalks, just like large gathering spaces inside and outside, as well as navigating the public transit system of St. John. So we rode the bus a few times as well.
Caitlin, you use a wheelchair and you were using a GoPro around St. John. Unfortunately, we can't use the information because it's considered confidential. What did you guys notice on your GoPro days?
We did use the GoPro, as you mentioned, and that was a great tool in our research. One thing that we were able to capture is the door width of like a public door for a washroom is not always accessible. Sometimes the door swings in instead of out, and you know, it's not always barrier free. Also, adults change tables are few and far between, so because not everyone can use the washroom the same way, and everyone deserves dignity and respect. So that is one thing to consider as well. And, you know, private, plentiful washrooms with proper knee clearance and things like that are should be considered as well.
I waited almost 35 years for MB housing. And that's one of the big things that I notice is there's a big need for accessibility within the built environment for the apartments. Because even when I was able to climb stairs and stuff like that, I really should have been using an elevator. And that was one of the big things I used to have to mention was I need an elevator in any apartment that I have. And that really, really, really limited where I could go, because some of the older buildings aren't elevator friendly.
Yeah, and that really speaks to one of the issues in the report was malfunctioning of elevators, escalators, and also changing the ways in which people have to travel and not having it planned for. So that was a huge issue as well.
Yeah, and that's probably going to become an even bigger issue with the price of everything going up, and that's going to probably become a big barrier for people with disabilities and being able to get the transportation and get to their appointments and that. Was there a lot brought up about that? Like the keep the increase of the cost of living?
Andrew, can you speak to that?
Yeah, so not necessarily restricted to transportation, but cost of living. Cost of living and a lack of accommodation in the workplace kind of went hand in hand. Some of our participants didn't have the ability to work full time, which caused a strain on their financial status. And it was unfortunately a prevalent issue and during our interviews.
What else did you guys learn from your research? Was there anything special or that wasn't expected?
So really, people want the right to work, whatever that may look like, or, you know, to be able to socialize, as you stated, go to the grocery store and be treated more, I guess, for a lack of a better word, have things integrated from the beginning instead of being treated as an afterthought or a burden. People with disabilities in all walks of life across Canada have the right to work, live, and play, and just like anyone else. So it's really important that new policies and practices are advancing for people with disabilities, and education opportunities are more available, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What's the next steps for this that you guys are thinking that would be coming out of this, next steps that you would like to see versus what may come out of it?
So the Go Barrier Free project report is available online, and we're currently working on a plain language report as well, so that people with disabilities and all of our participants can understand how they impacted the study. And we're really hoping that more funding becomes available for projects like this to be able to help advance accessibility standards even further. We're really hoping that, given the information, the funders for this project were Accessibility Standards Canada, and the partners were Ability New Brunswick and the New Brunswick Coalition of Persons with Disabilities. So we're really hoping, with this information being public, that we can help create more inclusive policies and practices going forward to help people with disabilities have a better quality of life. And given the opportunity for funding, we would love to work on another accessibility project.
I guess to add on to Caitlin earlier, the report has been delivered to Accessibility Standards Canada, and we certainly hope that it will be incorporated or recommendations adopted into the existing federal accessibility standards, as well as we're hopeful that other provincial governments may use it as a reference when developing or creating future provincial accessibility standards.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Matthew Wright, Caitlin Massey, and Andrew Urquhart for that interview. That's all for this edition of the NB Update. If you like what we do, please support us by donating and becoming a member of the NB Media Co-op. Just go to our online publication at nbmediacoop.org and click on join/donate. For the NB Media Co-op, I'm David Gordon Koch. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you.